Ding dong. Hello?
This is the Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps. And this is your deadline recap, even though our lovely co-host doesn't watch NXT anymore. I'm your semi-basic host, Liz.
I'm Joseph.
But you did watch Deadline.
I still watch it. That's how I know how it sucks so much.
It doesn't suck. And especially this pay-per-view where the women opened up. You know what? Honestly, I didn't watch the rest of it other than Alba and Isla. So I can't say. But the women opened up this show. And I thought it was great.
Oh, it was. The show sucks. The women's division is great. And that is the only reason that I continue to watch this show. Because anytime it's anything else, I don't watch it at all. Stay tuned for Take Under for like extended critiques about this, because I'm sure we'll both have thoughts. But Deadline Iron Woman Survivors match was better than Survivor Series War Games.
So even though the rules were super confusing, watching it play out, it's like, okay, this makes sense now. I'm in it. I love it.
I love matches with a lot of rules, with the exception of the UK ones that I could, like, the UK, NXT UK had some special rules match that I hated. And maybe it was just because I didn't like any of the people who were in any of those matches, but like, Ring of Honor Pure matches, this match.
Oh, the Impact X War one Games was probably my favorite one.
Yeah, that one. I love matches with a lot of different shit.
This one was cool, though. And I do agree that it was better. Well, I don't know about better. Well, maybe it was.
It was better produced. Like, the spots all meant something. Everybody got everything. And, like, almost everything that they did there seemed to like lay the groundwork for stuff, or at least like allowed people to shine. And in War Games, it was just like a bunch of different people fighting, which is great for like for War Games or what it was, but it wasn't as cohesive as a match as I think it could have been.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is
that this one was
an NXT Iron Survivor Challenge. You're saying like laying the groundwork. There wasn't, other than being the number one contender, there wasn't like a whole lot at stake here. Whereas in War Games, because we have these storylines going, it didn't feel like as fulfilling, I think. Because like you're saying, it could have been a lot more cohesive, and it could have, I think, yeah, it could have meant even more. But in hindsight, I guess they really were trying to set up for the current feuds that we have now. But I mean, really, when you're already like established. Anyway, back to NXT.
I mean, maybe it was that the stakes were lower, but I just liked it a lot more. Like, everybody looked great in it, including Kiana James.
Kiana James was like a breakout.
Doubting in it, but I even said, I think last week, that like this could be, or this is the biggest like match that she had, and she showed up, and I'm glad for it because I really like her, and I hope that they keep using her going forward a lot more.
Okay, so I'm gonna go on a little, not a rant about Kiana James, just like, like the thought process that I was having as I was watching this match, because you know every time she comes out, I still don't get her character, and I do think she needs to ditch whatever she's doing right now and just go into a full rebrand, because she's kind of, and when I say plain, I'm not saying it like in a bad way. It's just she's kind of a blank slate.
Generic.
And I think they could really do a lot with her. And I totally think she could be like face of the place as just, I don't know. And I don't want to say like divas-ish or whatever, but just like being like kind of a glamour girl. Kind of like Nina Samuels, but not a cornball. But yeah, like I feel like there's a lot of potential with her, building her up. And yeah, this whole, I don't know, is she like a math lady, business lady?
I couldn't tell you.
Whatever that is.
Anytime like NXT story segments come out, my brain just fries.
And then that's the other thing too, with her style of wrestling. The way she presents herself, like her gear, her hair, just like everything, it's not like figured out yet. Yeah. And she does have a really cool style. Like, she is strong.
Much like the rest of the show, it's not figured out yet.
Well, yeah. And we're lucky enough to get to see it on cable TV, right? It's not like a Peacock streaming thing.
Yeah, but she's not like the powerhouses like that we've seen, like Bianca or Rhea.
Mm-mm.
She's like a much more smaller in stature, like a, I mean, I just get those name out there, like Chris Benoit or like the smaller like powerhouses that we've seen, even though she is on a bit like the more medium height range of the women.
Well,
but like she just is a different. She, yeah, you're, what you're saying is right. Like she can bring something different, and it seems like they're trying to pigeonhole her into something else.
I have a better comparison. Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
She is, yeah, very much like a Nikki Bella-esque as far as like appearance that you can do with her, even though her style is different than hers. Mm-hmm. But also Nikki was just like a strong, like she literally had her strong forearm and she was like a stronger, harder hitting style than like Brie, I would say. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I just, Kiana James really stuck out, but it wasn't in like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. It was just me just watching her like, oh, there's so much that you can do with her here. And I don't know, I thought, I really did think she like stood out in this match too, because we really haven't seen her. I mean, we have seen her wrestle, but yeah, we really haven't seen her spotlighted like this before.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised like how well they did with the timing aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like all the way up to the finish with Cora getting put in there like right at the right time.
Well,
it was really well thought out and
yeah,
really
like,
well
let's
executed.
Talk about like the beginning. Zoe Stark is starting it.
Duh.
Who's just, I still haven't figured out what that term is. She's your anchor though. I don't know, but she's good old reliable. She is the one
best
to start it off.
In the
she's,
promotion.
Huh?
She's the best worker in the promotion, male or female.
Yeah, she's like your, well, yeah, she's like your Iron Woman. She's going to be there throughout the whole thing. And she was in it the whole thing.
The company is the second. Yeah, she was. She wasn't ever in the penalty box.
Right. So the rules were, you know, so the two that started off were Zoe and Roxanne, right? Yeah, so
I knew it even going into it that it was going to be the two of them. Nobody
yeah.
else. I was surprised that Kiana came as in
as a third person.
Did,
yeah.
But I was glad for it because it did give her more time to shine. But
and it also yeah, kind of like broke up the pacing a little bit.
It was obviously going to be Zoe and Roxanne. They're
yeah.
the two best wrestlers in this promotion, in my opinion. They're the two best. They're the reasons that I tune into this show still. That even Shawn Michaels' crappy booking hasn't driven me away from this show. And they were great throughout this entire thing.
So just the rules again, really quick. You have the two that start out. Yeah, it's what was it, 5 minutes before the next person comes out?
Yeah.
And then whoever gets pinned, submitted, they have to go into a penalty box for, was it 2 minutes?
I think so.
Or was it three? I don't know. What is
it
hockey?
Wasn't three. It was definitely like two. If it was multiple, it was two.
I have a feeling it's like in line with hockey rules. So whatever that is. And yeah, so basically whoever gets the most pins in that 25-minute time period. 25-minute? Yeah. Yes. 25-minute time period is the winner. So it's like the Iron Woman match where you have to get as many pins as possible in 1 hour. Or is there 30 minutes?
No, actually.
I can't remember right now.
I always have to look up. Stipulate. As much as I love them, I always have to look them up because I love all these different matches, so all the rules are mixed up in my head.
Well, I guess we just have to watch Bayley and Sasha again in their Iron Woman match, just for clarification. And yeah, so it was really cool because by the end of it, everybody had a pin.
No.
Everybody did get a pin.
Kiana got shut out.
I thought she got one. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I could have sworn.
Which is like fine because like even though you didn't get one, you still looked good. And it was like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like it was just the exact opposite of everything else booking wise that this promotion is in this one match. It was so good.
Roxanne got her second pin pretty early on. And
no.
Well,
she
not early
like
on, but it was like, still within a lot of like 5 minutes
left to go.
No, because
that was the whole point of it. Maybe 2 minutes left to go because she just had to run out the clock. 3 minutes at most. I'll keep on adding minutes until
okay,
I get to five.
5 minutes. But I'm just saying she didn't get the pin at the very last second the way we've seen in other Iron Man, Iron Woman matches. She got it kind of early on. So at that point, it was just like, holding on to her lead, which was so cool. And then, and that was the thing too, is like, they never really explained what would happen
with the tie.
With a tie.
We're going to have to get to that at some point. I think they're not ready to do that yet. And the like debut of the match, because it's such an intriguing thing.
I mean,
we'll have like three or four of them before we get a tie.
Maybe. What would be their version of sudden death? Because that's what we would have to go to.
That's what it would be, is the other ones go away, I think. And then you just keep wrestling for another 10 minutes or another 20 minutes. It becomes a hardcore match at that point.
Yeah.
Between all five people, and then somebody who didn't, like Kiana James, wins that match in the last 5 minutes because she just takes everybody out with a baseball bat. Something like that's gonna happen.
It resets, but only for 8 minutes, and it is hardcore. Anything goes.
Yeah, something crazy is gonna happen at some point. But we didn't have to cross that bridge in this one.
Yeah,
I'm glad that we didn't. Actually, I'm glad that it was like finished by the rule. Like I'm saying, I just really loved booking in this match. It was so good.
I think Zoe's performance in this one though was like by far my favorite. She's just so fast.
Yeah.
Like she's just so fast, and then like she also just jumps off like nothing, like does top rope stuff like nothing. But also Indy, like damn, she's so big, she's so strong, she's so cool.
That's why I'm kind of glad that she lost, because I'm hoping that it means we've seen the last of her in NXT soon. Maybe she'll challenge Mandy at some point anyways, after like the showdown that they had after her triple threat.
Like that backstage segment.
That was the only reason that I thought she might win, but I'm glad that she didn't. I think they booked it right and they made
Roxanne
win. But yeah, Indy looked like the powerhouse that she needs to be before she moves up. Like, that's what she is, and that's what she needs to be on the main roster. So I'm glad that they were able to show that. That powerbomb that she got on, or that she almost got on Roxanne, it looked vicious, like, as she's lining up for her. Then it just, it was so cool.
I mean, but also, I wonder how she would benefit, too, from just staying in NXT, because She's kind of like the Bayley in that sense, where she kind of is just that staple. Everybody loves her. She was getting the indie wrestling chance. And I don't know. The only way that I like it makes sense for her to just be there is because she has to be champion. Because at that point, Bayley was champion.
It's like
I don't think they're going to give it to her.
Like Bianca was never champion here. She doesn't need it. At this point, she's going to get better with people who are much better than her. And most of the people here are not much better than her. The few exceptions were in this match. And that's like Zoe and Roxanne. Maybe they're better than her, and I can't say that
Alba
Cora...
Alba Fire?
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean, she's alone in her
I'm
own.
Thinking about the rest of the matches. But yeah, she's not even on this roster as far as I'm concerned. Oh my God.
We
don't even need to talk about that match.
we're gonna.
Yeah, Roxanne was my favorite, obviously. She's always my favorite.
She's such a baby face.
I'm begging them to finally pull the trigger this time.
Oh, when she goes up against Mandy. Because, she's number one contender. She's going to face her.
People were cheering her name. And, like, any doubt that I had that it should have been her the first time, completely alleviated. Like, do it this time. Pull the trigger. The time is ready. Mandy can show up in Royal Rumble. And then Toxic Attraction
There's
can
rumors.
Be there.
Yeah.
All this stuff can happen. Like, we don't need her here anymore. And Roxanne can run this division as the babyface champion.
I mean, I think that's when you really usher in a new NXT era for sure.
And then you have, Tatum Paxley and Fallon Henley and them can like step out of like the sidelines and be more featured prominently. Get Indy to where she needs to be on her next level now. Yeah. Stuff like that. Like Zoe can stay here because they don't need no good wrestlers. They need people who could carry matches, but sorry, Zoe, you were hurt for a little while, so you have to stay back.
You reset.
Indy's husband is there. We have to get her
I know, especially because the way that they've been doing their romance angles, I don't hate them.
I don't either. And I was thinking about that when we were watching it recently. I was like, why do they have so many, even on AEW, why is everything coming down to like romance or like these relationships? But I guess that's what happens in workplaces anyways.
Yeah, but also
it just makes me laugh of the idea of Triple H and Shawn Michaels writing soap operas, romance storylines. makes me laugh so much.
Well, I mean, Triple H is married to Steph, and that was like a majority of their storyline. Yeah. So why not? Yeah. But I think that, like, why I think it stands out a little bit more is because it's not as cringy as like a Bobby Lashley Lana wedding.
Yeah.
It's nowhere it's near subtle. That. Like it's subtle. It's natural. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
As much as I love Indian Dexter's wedding, though, that was probably one of my favorite weddings of all WWE.
They're over the top characters. Like that needs to be that way. But like Emma and what's his ass, they can be like subtle, like crushing like that. And I think they're going to start feuding with Carrie and then Scarlett.
Ooh.
So Scarlett can actually get in the ring now.
Did I tell you I watched a few of her matches? Like,
yeah, you were impressed.
No, guys. but cool. And I think that, yeah. Oh, I just want to talk about the ending of the Iron Survivor Challenge. What I thought was really cool because, you know, you had the countdown. Everybody's like counting along with the clock. And it looks like Roxanne is going to land her finisher, right, on Cora Jade, which would have been super cool, too. It would have been really cool just to have, like, that little moment and stuff. But, no, that's not what happened. Cora was able to...
That's why, like, really good balanced booking because she, like, didn't get, like... She just barely squeaked by and survived that.
Yeah, but Cora couldn't get the pin in time.
Or on anybody else that she was trying to before that.
But, so it was a cool finish because you thought you were going to get the cool finisher, right? Like
of her rolling out as she is like reaching for her. So cool. That was the first thing I saw of the match because we didn't get to watch it live.
Yeah.
And when I was going through my timeline, that just autoplayed and I was like, ah. But like seeing that shot, I didn't even care because I got to see the finish of it. So I didn't care that I got it spoiled for me because I knew I was going to go back and watch it probably multiple times. So that shot was cool the way that they ended it. That's why I really like this match so much.
Yeah, it was just Roxanne rolling out like, haha, I did it. Okay.
Yeah, and then she's just like exasperated. I'm like, they were all so good here. All of these people are better than people on the main roster right now. Like, that's the funny thing. About everybody in this match is better than multiple people on the main roster right now.
And this is just a nice, solid, like, multiple person match. Yeah. So I didn't watch the men's one, so I can't compare it
yet,
but I'm sure it was better. I'm sure this one was better than the men's one.
There is no doubt in my mind, especially after I know who won that match.
But let's talk about Alba and Isla really quick, because Jesus Christ. What is happening? Like, did Alba Fire make somebody mad?
Oh, no, she's caught up in this. I should have started an episode the way we like to start and take under episodes with apologies, profuse apologies, and apologize to you. But we could get to why I'm apologizing to you in general later. The whole thing is Triple H clearly listens to this and take under and hates me for some reason.
I wonder why.
Because I've been talking shit about his best friend for the last 4 months. And so all my faves, like my faves, are just have to eat shit until I stop calling NXT the worst promotion in the world, I guess.
And so what, now he's going after spouses?
I don't know.
Because that's what it feels like right now.
Yeah. Well,
so
in this context, this one's definitely on me. I apologize.
Well, this was... Okay, I'm not going to say it was like one of the greatest matches because it wasn't. Isla Dawn puts on a fine performance. Her skills are fine and great, right? Okay, but like Alba Fire elevates anything. And so, yeah, we just had like a good match rolling, which is cool too because this was right after the Iron Survivor Challenge. So it gave me a reason to be able to go to bed on time because I was not gonna want to stay up. But right at the end, well, actually before Alba pinned Isla like scratched the ref's leg or something. Like she scratched him, but she grabbed at him. And when Alba pinned her, the ref just started like oozing black stuff out of his mouth. And he couldn't count the pin.
Yeah.
So black magic or whatever like comes into play again. And normally I would like this if it was anyone else besides her in this match against Kaylee Ray.
Yeah.
That's probably about it. I would probably like this against anybody else, actually.
I'm just at a loss. Like, I mean, that's why the show is so bad. Like, that mystical shit, keep that shit on NXT UK, because none of that shit's been here in NXT. And you guys don't have...
Well, also, they're not explaining it that well.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have the production value or the performances from it, like, from anybody all around.
See, when on NXT UK, when Isla Dawn was doing this whole witchy stuff, there was a lot of packages behind it. There was a lot of explanations to why she was winning these matches that she shouldn't have been winning in the first place. She had no business, but she was collecting people's hair, mementos and stuff.
Well, half of your announced team here is clueless as to half of these
people. Exactly. And so that's why this just doesn't hit. And it also just like, is like, it, to me anyway, it's like rubbing salt in the wound, because like we've been behind Kaylee Ray this whole time and no one else is going to appreciate this because of the way they just sort of shoehorned it. Like, no, nobody else watched NXT UK. They only listened to our podcast, and ours was already a fan fiction of NXT UK that it can't be like used as a good reference point.
Maybe that's what it was. They went back and they're like, these are the only people who cared about NXT UK.
If you're catering to us, no, not like this. Not like this. But
I mean, I knew she was going to lose. This is Isla's debut match. And like, again, the timing works well for her to eat a pin here.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And we don't see her in NXT anymore. And we see her in the Royal Rumble,
I guess. Oh, yeah. Royal Rumble is next month. But again,
that's
month,
already like
so.
Four surprise entrances that I've already thrown out in just this.
They've so done not, it all the
all
time,
those
though.
People are not going to show up.
Especially for the women. They do it all the time. Like, they usually have like 12 surprises because the women's division isn't that
it's
big.
A lot bigger now, though. And I don't think they're going to have that many. I mean, Beth Phoenix is already going to take up one of them. And
Trish, maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. We can get to that later.
But yeah, so Isla was able to, there was the exposed turnbuckle earlier. Isla was able to throw Alba into that. And that's what helped her get her pin. She did like a weird, not Sister Abigail, but she did like her weird finisher. But she did the whole like roll her eyes in the back of her head before she hit it. Which again, I would have been fine with if it just wasn't Alba. Or I would have enjoyed it more. It would have been like to my liking, but not.
Yeah, I guess same, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have anything else to say about that match. But all right, cool. So that was Deadline, which we also didn't do our predictions for because we completely like didn't realize it was on that Saturday. So, yeah.
I got predictions in on Take Under.
Oh, on Take Under, yeah, if you listen to that. But even then, I don't think I think I would have predicted Roxanne winning. But man, there was so much going on in that match. I didn't even know like what to expect in that match in general. But okay, cool. So just a notable too, Athena won the Ring of Honor title.
Yes.
So, and they're going to do a weekly show now for Ring of Honor. Is that what was announced?
Yeah.
Or is that rumored?
No, it's announced. They have their own. They're going back to their own service for now, and they're going to have some later announcements probably after January. I think they might be putting their streams also on New Japan service.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you might be able to get two for one there. If that's the case, then I think we're going to sign up finally.
Well, speaking of New Japan, there's like talks of Sasha Banks being there at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because apparently, so from what I was reading, like the rumors were that she was approached by Stardom, which cool, but I don't think they were able to afford her.
Duh.
Because I think she was asking for like Okada money. So, which she totally deserves.
Yeah, she's the biggest, she would instantly be the biggest star in that building.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what deal it is, but seeing her at Wrestle Kingdom would be pretty cool.
Somebody made the point that if they need to make or allow people at Wrestle Kingdom to cheer and ensure that they do cheer, because Sasha Banks's return to wrestling met with applause.
Like a respectful applause?
Seems lame.
Seems...
I mean, it's different. I would say that much. But, like, yeah, I would definitely want, like, the roof to join, pull off the joint after, like, she's been gone for this long and everybody wants her to return, and it doesn't seem like that's what we're going to get.
And that's the thing.
If
like,
these reports are even true, we'll see what's going to happen with them.
I don't think Sasha cares about that. No. I think her just being in Japan would just be cool for her.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, she's...
read a quote that she, when she was on Stone Cold, saying that, like, before WWE came calling, her dream was always Japan. So, like, yeah, at this point, she's got all this stuff. She's probably going to be done with wrestling in the next 2 or 3 years. We've talked about this here, too. Like,
see, well, okay.
And even if she doesn't want to be, she doesn't have to be. She could always come back to wrestling.
I was going to say, I don't think she'll ever be done with it. And only because, like, we see her training, but we also just see her, I don't know, like, but I don't know how you grow up, like, with this dream. You hit it, right? You get it. And then just like, okay, I guess I'll just go figure something else out.
The same.
I can't see her doing that.
Well, you saw John Cena do it.
John Cena comes back.
John Cena loves wrestling, though. Yeah. I'm not saying she can't come back, but I'm saying she's going to be done with wrestling the same way John Cena's done with wrestling.
Okay, which he isn't.
Well, yeah, but we see him once, twice every year or two. Like, we're averaging one appearance every 2 years when it's really like two appearances 1 year and then no appearance for a year, like something like that. She could do something like that eventually, but maybe she's just like marking shit off of her WrestleMania bucket list.
Yeah.
The last one is going to be going back to WWE and having main event with Bayley or the Four Horsewomen. And then she's going to be done with wrestling for a long time, or at least being a full timer, I think.
You know, it's so frustrating. So I know that Sasha Banks is an Aquarius, and this is where I can relate to her. She's not going to open up about her personal life like ever. And it's really frustrating because she's the only person that I want to know what's going on in her head, but we're not going to get it. So just deal with that. Just so you know, it's written in the stars.
And we still don't even know if she's even actually going to be there, but I guess we'll see.
We'll find out. Who knows? Maybe she'll have a Royal Rumble return. That would be in the same month, huh?
It is.
Isn't Wrestle Kingdom like the first of the year?
Wrestle Kingdom is the 24th, I think.
Oh, I could have sworn I was watching it on a New Year's. Maybe it just felt like New Year's because it was Jericho coming out.
Around January usually, but sometimes it's later in the month. I know. See, that's what also... Yeah, I mean, there's so much possibilities because, like, AEW has their stuff going on and their teases that they're having, too, that could also tie in with this because they have a working relationship with New Japan. And Tony Khan just said in his press conference that there will be a Forbidden Door 2. So there's just a bunch of, like, this is the cool stuff about, even especially in this day and age where, like, a lot of stuff is broken early. Like, there's a lot of stuff up in the air right now.
Yeah, because also, wasn't there talks of, like, Shinsuke coming out over there in New Japan?
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to... He came out in a promotion, but it wasn't New Japan.
Or... But just in a different way, in general.
Be in New Japan, I don't think. At least if it's the same working relationship that we're getting right now. The one person that is going to be able to work over there is Carl Anderson, and that's because he's champion and he needs to drop a belt.
Oh. Let's just mention SmackDown for just a few seconds. It doesn't have to be that long. It's okay. Like, we won't torture Joseph that long, but Tegan and Liv are now a tag team, maybe. They are, because they're going to face a Damage Control on SmackDown. But they had a match.
For the belts.
For the belts. They had a match against Ronda and Shayna. And, yeah, it was a match. And Raquel came out and distracted everybody. And Shayna eats a pin again because Ronda's not going to.
Obviously not.
But that happened. And yeah, so Tegan and Liv, I very much can see them being the new tag team champions just because Dakota is going up against Tegan who last, when we last saw them, she like betrayed the crap out of her. Yeah. But also, Dakota's a chump. So it's going to happen. She's going to lose to Tegan. And also, they have to like prop up Liv Morgan because everybody loves her. And I guess that's it. So
damage control gets to eat shit, like always.
Classic. That's what happens when you are too giving like Bailey. And this is where Bailey messed up. Instead of just like teaching them to go and get the Ronda contracts, she's like, nah, guys, we're givers here. Anyway, I liked your idea, though, about Stephanie McMahon getting involved with damage control as a way to save it.
The only way to save it. Stephanie McMahon is the only appeal higher than Triple H. And what would DX do? They piss off the person running things as much
piss
as
off
possible.
Off their boss, yeah.
That's what they got to do, is just go to his wife. Stephanie is her... Bailey is Stephanie's favorite wrestler. Has she said that before?
Has Stephanie said that?
Feels like something she'd say.
It's her. They're her
and
daughter's.
And even if it wasn't, let's just say that it's her favorite wrestler.
Okay. It's written. Bailey is Stephanie's favorite wrestler.
Yeah, very clearly she's Stephanie's favorite wrestler. So you open up Raw with her knocking at the door to the boss's tower.
Ding dong.
And just making Triple H's hell life a living hell, basically. Every time that he tries to book against her or book a fair match, she's like, Stephanie, Hunter's at it again. Hunts is at it again.
Actually, no, what I would like to see is Stephanie coming back, but in full heel mode.
Yeah.
Because then you get damage control, even more heat that way.
Right.
And they don't have to have the titles, but they can just go ahead and corporation stuff. Yeah, I think that's what needs to happen, is Bailey just needs to go full corporate.
Yeah.
And she goes up against the man. And then you have like a battle of the two evils.
Yeah.
It could work.
I mean, I don't know what else you could do at this point. Also have her appoint Bobby Lashley as their personal China. They can hire Bobby Lashley now that he's been fired.
That's
as
right.
A bodyguard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that just happened tonight. Have Damage Control hire Bobby Lashley as their like personal bouncer.
Making sure that the man doesn't attack them from behind anymore.
Imagine Bobby Lashley tossing like Becky back into the
he
crowd.
He wouldn't do that. He would just stand in front the same way China would stand in front of dudes. It's just going to be the same thing until he gets kicked right in the dick by somebody at some point, which will happen. I'm sure Becky's not above kicking somebody square in the dick.
No, I don't think so.
Did she do it to Baron Corbin?
Yeah, I think she did.
If not, she should have. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to keep on trying to throw out as many ways to save Damage Control on here. Because
I want to see it.
If you take the fucking titles off of them on Friday, you might as well just end them.
Yeah. Well,
I know that you think they're going to lose, so you're not going to agree with that. But that's my opinion. If they lose the titles on Friday... end it. Like, I'm so done with them if they're not, because everybody's like, one last thing is like, you know, Damage Control, like you say that they're not doing this, but they have the belts and Becky's and Bailey's feuding with Becky. Like, yeah, we're gonna get a good feud and Becky's gonna come out on top. Who do you think is gonna come out on top of that? Certainly not Bailey. And so where the fuck does any of this go for any of the three of them? Nowhere.
Yeah.
So let's just end it now. Get Bailey a real storyline. Get her over to SmackDown where she can take that belt. Because that belt is doing nothing for anybody else.
Yeah.
Take that belt from Ronda and then let's have like good other stuff going on right now instead of SmackDown being a complete wash in terms of watching it. I will, and like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm a very niche wrestling fan personally. But I'm
too don't say.
Into the worst promotion, worse than Impact Weekly and NXT. Because they have Zoe Stark and Roxanne putting on these great women's matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not watching SmackDown because you have Liv Morgan. And like your big ace in the holes is Tegan Knox, which nobody knows. Like, and Ronda Rousey is your champion. That's not going to make me want to watch your biggest show.
Or you could bring back Stephanie McMahon to save us.
I mean, really, I've been in love with Stephanie McMahon since I was 10. She could do no wrong. She is the only person who could save Damage Control. Maybe that's why I'm throwing it out as a Hail Mary there.
Well, speaking of Bayley, she had her match against Alexa Bliss, and this is for a number one contender for Bianca. So, we've talked about Chump of Chumps, but now we have the Champ of the Chumps. It is Bayley. And this match wasn't very good. It definitely didn't feel like the number one contendership was on the line here. And maybe it was just me being nervous about a kendo stick showing up. But yeah, it was... It just wasn't meeting like the hype. Especially when it's kicking off the show.
Yeah. And Bayley is part of it.
And I'm going to just, you know, it is all on Alexa. I'm sorry. It just felt like they were holding back a lot. And not that there was hesitation, but it just wasn't, it wasn't like full out. Like almost felt like it was half-assed, that they just needed to get to the end of it. And I think I was proven right by that. Because, I mean, you bring out Becky, who like got rid of other two in Damage Control to ensure a fair fight. And then you have Bianca come out to watch ringside, which was okay, like through, you know, because they did have a spot, her and Bayley. But we knew why she needed to be out there, because it was all leading up to Alexa winning. But just having, yeah, just like having that sort of mediocre match just kind of bummed me out. And like my favorite spot really was when Bayley was able to like duck Alexa, and when she was about to punch her, Alexa ducked down. So Bianca caught Bayley's hand, and so then she's just like trash talking Bianca, like just like stay out of my match, and she's just like taunting her. And then Alexa tries to come up from behind her, and then Bayley elbows her. Like she just had like the wherewithal in this match. Like, she just has so much of it, and to have her lose. Like, you have this Iron Woman, who this, like, stable, this, like, icon, and she has to, like, sell that she's a chump, and it sucks.
You're right. Like, she was in charge of that whole thing, and then it seemed dumb. To the point where, like, it was almost comical in a movie where, like, somebody's talking to somebody, and they're just, like, punching somebody as they run into a room. Like that, where she was attacking when she hit Alexa, and then all of a sudden Alexa lands one dropkick, and then now Bayley's just down to lay down on the ground until Twisted Bliss gets landed.
Like, yeah, because like the turnbuckle cover was off, which that part was cool too, because again, this is like where it, again, we had to have Bianca there, but so Bianca or Bayley takes off the cover for the turnbuckle. And so when Bianca's like, tattling to the ref, look what she did, like Bayley could have easily been like, no, she did it. Kick Bianca out of there, which would have been way like, I think it would have been like, oh yeah, like, because now there's like just more tension and like, oh, what's gonna happen now? But yeah, so anyway, when Alexa was celebrating
their dead horse.
When Alexa's celebrating her victory and Bianca comes in to shake her hand, and Alexa's like, nah, bring it in for a hug. The little flash, the Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt flash.
Changed to show it off instead of showing that whole shot in that camera. Like, I don't know.
And so it like put Alexa into, I don't know, I guess that's like her, like the safety button. What's that button?
Trigger.
The trigger button. The trigger, like the ones that like Russian sleeper agents use.
Yeah.
So that she like put Bianca in to Sister Abigail, like setting up for it. And then when Bianca like, I guess, looked at her, Alexa, like she broke it up. She's like, oh, what am I doing? And then she just like left. So I will say though, I like that this is happening, because we know that like Alexa's character work is her forte. I didn't like everything that we had to go through to get to this.
Yeah. And like the thing about it with Triple H, one thing that he maybe his Achilles heel in booking so far has been he seems to draw everything out almost too much. Like the White Rabbit shit went at least a week or two too long, where people almost didn't care about the QR codes by the time that they were waiting for Bray Wyatt to show up at the pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, so it's just going to get to a point where you're just going to flash this one too many times and people aren't going to give a shit until you finally do it. And then when you finally do it, yeah, they're like, all's going to be forgiven. Like, they're going to be into it. Like, I just don't get why he goes on so long with it, because we already saw the flash, like, in Saudi Arabia. We saw her do it in the last match. And then, like, this one was just, like, the dead horse. So if you don't get the turn, like, next week.
It should have been tonight. It really should have.
I'm saying if you don't get it next week, like, I could see the progress. So if you don't get it next week, like, it's already 1 week too long. And I don't think we're going to get it probably until they actually fight, which probably isn't going to be into Royal Rumble. True. I don't think they're doing day one, are they?
I don't think so.
We would be hearing stuff about it already, because that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, because that's what I was thinking was, like, Alexa just needs to turn already. And we just got a glimpse of it today, now that she's, like, officially in a program with Bianca.
Yeah.
But I think you could have, like, already pulled the trigger here with her. Get her to whatever character she's supposed to be, unless they haven't figured it out, which, you know what, as I'm saying it out loud, makes sense now.
Makes sense, because Bray Wyatt is in a whole other character. Maybe they're still trying to convince him, can you just be the Fiend again? He's like, no, that's not what I'm doing.
Or can you please help us with the Alexa storyline? How can we just tie it up? We're just really bad at this. We know there's a way to, like,
I'm on
wrap
a whole
this
other
up.
Show, guys.
Yeah, and then Bray Wyatt's like, have you heard this podcast? Semi Basics Guide to Men's Wrestling.
No, Bray Wyatt's just really into character, and he just starts yelling at them.
So, yeah, that was that. We got a Candice EO match, which...
It was fine. It was a replacement-level NXT match.
Was going to say. I was expecting a little bit more from this one, too.
You're
because
holding them to too high a standard.
I know, and it's just because... I mean, we already know how both of these women can go. And then we know, like, we've seen Io and Asuka, and we know, like, Candice can put on, like, those really high energy
She's
matches.
She's coming back, though.
And this is what, like, especially at this point in the show, that's what we needed.
Yeah.
And it could have been, I just think it could have been a lot better, but it was really good. I'm not going to say it wasn't.
I thought it was really good, especially compared to what we've been seeing and what we see on SmackDown, like, still.
Yeah.
I thought it was good for what it was. It was a perfectly good, like, NXT Golden Age Women's Era match, so I don't have any complaints about it.
I
see what you're saying, where it could have had more energy. I just don't think right now in the place where, like, Candice is going to be eating that pin in that program, it's not kind of the frenetic pace that they would need to have to... satisfied what you were looking for. It just wasn't the time in that storyline for that kind of match that you really wanted.
Well, and you know what? I do think what is helpful to Candice is actually having her in these backstage segments with her husband, because it gives you just, like, a little bit more of her personality, and, like, gives you, like, time to, or, like, it gives everybody a chance to connect with her, because I think she really does have that type of, like, magnetic personality.
I disagree, but I hate the corniness of the wrestlings, and, like, I'll never cheer for Johnny Gargano as a babyface, so I'll never cheer for the wrestlings as a babyface, except for, like, maybe Loomis and Indy, but I appreciate it. I think you have a valid point. I will accept that, but I don't like it for my taste. I boo the wrestlings. When Adam Cole went and shat on the floor of his dad's restaurant, it was the best thing that ever happened in NXT.
Well, I think Candice, the way it's kind of like a foot in and one out right now, because she's not getting involved in, like, the silliness going on backstage.
She's like the ground. She's the straight person.
Yeah. And she's just like, yeah, I'm going to go wrestle, but, like, cool, I'll hang out with you guys later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think you're right. I just don't. And I mean, even then, like, the silliness about it too, the board was funny. It's just, I'm never gonna, like, buy into Gargano stuff. I'm never gonna openly buy into Gargano stuff. I'll say that much. It's too cheesy for me.
But let's get to the highlight of Raw, and that was Rhea versus Asuka. What? Okay. If you've been following Asuka on social media, you've been seeing all of these like very angsty posts. And it was very much a, I would compare it to like when Liv Morgan was trying to find herself, except Asuka just did it within like a few posts. And then the next week she was sort of reinvented.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
I
like.
I mean, even then, it seems like we're in a transition, but I'm interested in this transition as opposed to like, what is happening?
No, she came out and because we were thinking too, like, oh, what's she going to reveal? Like, what's it going to be? And she comes out, she takes off her mask. Nothing. Nothing on her face. And that got a big ooh out of us, like in real time. Wow. Like, she's so good. But yeah, this match against Rhea was just so kick-ass. Like you could just see, like Asuka was just not stopping. Yeah. And I think Rhea was taken aback because she has been sort of like, I don't want to say coasting, but she's definitely been on once because she's hanging out with Judgment Day. You know, she's like interfering in matches. She's got her little pool boy coming along with her, like
body
she's
slamming dudes.
Yeah, she's just like living it up right now. So like she was humbled by Asuka, I would say, in this match. And even then, like it never, I don't think she was ever like caught off guard. She was just kind of like, oh shit, like all right, time to step it up. And then she did.
Well, I think she still was. She still like barely got that win there, which was good that she did, because you're building her for WrestleMania is like, that's the money matches, her versus Rhea, or her versus Bianca at WrestleMania. So she can't take a loss here, but it gets her through Asuka right now while Asuka's in this transition.
Yeah.
And she, and Asuka doesn't have to take, or Asuka can take the loss like right now,
but also like
Asuka was so interesting here too, because she's just like stone faced.
Yeah.
Like that's the character work that, I mean, to point out other people not doing that, like, I'm not going to say names, but like you can very clearly see people on this show, people on other shows, in other promotions, like they can't, and it's very hard to draw them to an absolute, or to draw comparisons to an absolute legend like Asuka.
Right.
But that's who you should be chasing.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you trying to emulate that?
Yeah.
And she was just so good in like the whole, the seriousness in which like she came out. Like, how many times have we seen Liv or Mandy Rose when like shit's not going right just still look like Mandy Rose, or like Naomi still come glow, like I said I wasn't gonna name names, but like Naomi still come glowing down the ring, like whenever,
when you've gotta like
shit's
really
dug down backstage, like no, Asuka was, it was just,
she was focused
on like what it, what a change in your character needs to start showing as.
Yeah. And so that was really cool, because I mean, just take it back, like even a couple of weeks ago, she's just sort of gallivanting around with Alexa and Bianca, and you know, she's got her cool face paint and stuff, but it wasn't ever like, yeah, like they just, she never really had like her own matches, right?
Yeah. And then once she did in that triple threat and lost, and her tag team partner won, then she goes on her little like angsty run, which is great. It was the thing I was most looking forward to in wrestling over,
and
the
it was so satisfying,
so good. She's so pretty still.
She's so pretty. I think that was like the main
takeaway from,
like online. Everyone was just like, "Oh my god, that's right!" And that's
always
cool.
Forget how pretty Asuka
we always forget how pretty she is. No, because like that's a cool thing about her is like the she's very charismatic. Yeah. We already know this. She has like, she's so over even without having to speak any English. Like, I don't remember the last time she really cut a promo other than like, you're not ready for Asuka, but she was like, all she has to do is go out there and like shimmy, and but it's never been cringe. It's never been like disingenuous. But like, yeah, it's now it's different. Now it's this other side. It's like this other, like very goes back to NXT. If you saw her debut there, where she was just like killer straight out the bat.
And I think that's what we're getting. Like, I mean, I know it's under Triple H, so it's like easy to say that, like, oh yeah, we're gonna go back and like hit these notes again. But like, why the fuck not? In the case where they're really good, yeah, she doesn't have to go on this 2 year long undefeated streak, but she could still be a demon Asuka and have some really good bangers with a lot of people on this roster.
And I think, too, it's just, like, to your point, if you haven't seen it, then now you're just being reminded.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you have seen it before, you're being reminded. And that's kind of what I, like, that's how I felt anyway.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's right. There's also this side of her.
What was cool about this, and that's what I think is cool about, like, so a lot of stuff we've complained about, AEW, like everything has to take place online. Like Asuka's using it as like a finisher on top of like this storyline.
Right.
Because she's just like laying the seeds on there and then it like comes across here where like she's just done like not being taken seriously as a threat anymore because she could turn that on at any point that she wants to. Yeah, she's been like messing around with these girls up until now, but it's not here. That's not the case anymore.
But even then, like it goes back even further. Like it just, I think ever since, ever since her streak was, or when she was like, when she was in her streak and defending her streak, this is like years ago, that's when we saw the more like funny side of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where it's been for like since Mixed Match Challenges.
Yeah.
So definitely at least 3-4 years. So that's kind of like the Asuka era that we've been in, which is just that, like that outgoing personality. And now I think we're going back to like killer instincts here.
Yeah.
I hope.
I'm excited.
Unless it's something completely different, which, cool. Still, cooler.
Yeah. I'm just excited for where she goes from here. Like, again, this still is probably going to be the thing I most care about in wrestling for a little while.
Yeah. And so, like, other highlights in this match. One, just like Asuka being like nonstop. I don't think there was ever like a time where Rhea like put her down for a while where she needed like breathers. Like, she was just up. And then when Dominic, stupid, got involved. So she like blue misted his face, but that's when Rhea was able to finally land her Riptide. Because, Asuka had her in like, so many submission holds.
She didn't necessarily look bad in defeat either.
Yeah, no, but like she almost had Rhea like a few times.
Yeah.
There was that one point where Dominic had to pull Rhea's foot to get her foot on the rope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Asuka had Rhea in like not good positions, but. I mean, Rhea still won because, I mean, yes, she's still a monster. And then also she has her little pool boy helping.
Still trying to sell Judgment Day, so they have to keep winning.
I like Judgment Day, so whatever.
They're still trying to sell it. I'm not saying they're not succeeding in it. They're just still doing it.
hate. But that was, I think, a good note to end this on. We're going to go watch Bayley and Sasha's Iron Woman match to find out how long the matches are. And you can watch some more women's wrestling.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, subscribe or follow, and share with your friends who love wrestling. Also, you can click on the link in the description to leave us a voice message, but not like any creepy ones. Okay, fine. A little creepy, but tone it down.